From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made last Thursday when Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, came out. He wrote an essay for Bloomberg addressing his sexuality, saying that if his openness about being gay could help other gay workers in his companies or others feel more comfortable, well, he wanted to do that. But gay CEOs have not had an easy time, both in the United States and around the world. So what is the impact of Tim Cook's announcement? What does the law say about work protections? What's the reaction been around the world? What is the climate for gay workers in the United States workforce? Our panel addresses all of that and more this hour. And let's go ahead and welcome them here. Bess Watts is here. Bess Watt is here, the president of the local chapter of Pride at Work. Bess, I tripped on your name only because you have about 13 titles. I just chose one of them, but nice to see you.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
Thanks for being here, Bess. Emily Jones is here, a board member of Out and Equal and member of the Business Council of the Human Rights Campaign for the last 13 years. Emily, thank you for being here.
Thank you for the invitation.
Also in studio is Judy Johnson, a member of Pride at Work. Judy, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
And on the line is Eliza Hammer, a member of the Regional Council for Out and Equal New York Finger Lakes and a young professional who lives and works here in Rochester. She's on the line now. Eliza, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so we've got our panel set. We're going to listen not only to some of their comments about Tim Cook, but we'd like our listeners to join the conversation if you'd like as well. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. That number is toll-free, or right here in Rochester, 263-WXXI, 263-9994. I want to start by reading part of Tim Cook's essay, and then we'll listen as well. He broke the story in Bloomberg. And by the way, when you talk to people like Bess and Emily, they say, broke the story on Tim Cook. It wasn't exactly breaking news at Apple, but it hasn't been public. So here's Tim Cook writing in Bloomberg Business Week. Quote, throughout my professional life, I've tried to maintain a basic level of privacy. I come from humble roots, and I don't seek to draw attention to myself. Apple is already one of the most closely watched companies in the world, and I like keeping the focus on our products and the incredible things our customers achieve with them. At the same time, I believe deeply in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, who said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? I often challenge myself with that question, and I've come to realize that my desire for personal privacy has been holding me back from doing something more important. That's what's led me to today. Now let's listen to Bloomberg. Their YouTube channel helped break the story, and this is one of the Bloomberg anchors reading part of Tim Cook's essay that comes next.
He writes, while I have never denied my sexuality, I haven't publicly acknowledged it either until now. So let me be clear. I'm proud to be gay, and I consider being gay among the greatest gifts God has given me.
All right, so that's Tim Cook writing in Bloomberg last week. Bess, first reaction from you.
Well, I believe it shows the inclusiveness of Apple that he felt good about coming out. I mean, and it really will trickle down to the person that works in the stores, and to have Tim come out as the first CEO of a Fortune 500 company is really breaking that one of the last barriers. So, and like you said, everybody knew that he was gay in his personal circle, but publicly announcing it is certainly a move forward. And I'm glad that he shattered that glass closet.
Emily, what do you think?
Only 7 years ago, John Brown, the former CEO of BP, actually resigned after being outed. And Alan Gilmore, chief financial officer for Ford, never chose to come out. So why is this so clearly important? There has to be a first, and there has to be a role model for the rest of the gay community to feel safe. That whole issue of safety and not shame in the culture is what it's all about. And many people, if the CEO or the leaders aren't out, they're not going to come out either, no matter whether every single policy protecting them is in place.
And to be clear, Tim Cook of Apple, a CEO who's now out, cannot really, the numbers say, cannot be the only gay CEO of a Fortune 500 company right now, right?
Correct.
Okay, so we'll see if his leadership changes that. Judy, what was your reaction to his announcement?
I felt that he was brave, and I felt that he took a step forward, and I also felt that the stress that he must, that he's relieved, you know, and to be a CEO of a company, you know, I applaud him. That's all I can say. I applaud him.
Eliza Hammer, what do you think?
I think it shows an interesting trend in the way that people are coming out now. He made it very clear that he didn't want to be viewed, you know, as an activist or anything like that. He was just wanted to be honest with who he was and who people were viewing him as. And I think that, especially in the young professional community, it's more and more common for people to not necessarily have a huge coming out conversation, but just to drop it casually in conversation and let people react as they will. So I think that his coming out is something that, you know, that we're going to see more of, and more styles of people just coming out more casually and less of feeling the need to be a huge advocate or immediately make that a central point of their identity.
Emily, when we talk about the impact for CEOs, again, having worked for 13 years with the Business Council of the Human Rights Campaign, is there a feeling right now, or has there been, at least in your estimation, that not that it is not welcome for a gay executive to come out, but that could lead to, again, losing a job, losing a position? I think a lot of people are surprised at that notion in 2014. But clearly there is some kind of concern at that level. Otherwise, Tim Cook wouldn't be the first in 2014, right?
Right. When you think about men in leadership positions, if they are white, already have privilege. They don't have to attain anything else like a woman does, or a black man, or a black woman, or a gay person who might be of color. So when they walk into a room, they want to maintain every business relationship they have. They do not want to compromise that. They want to make sure their team is constantly on board. They want to make sure that the board that they work for is completely supportive of what they are trying to achieve. They do not want to do something that might undermine that in any way in terms of relationship. It's all about relationship. Business is about relationships. And so they do not want to confound that in any way, and do not want, as many people say, get out of line, get out and off the talent process. So it's really what it's all about. It's not that they're ashamed of who they are. They don't want to lose opportunity.
Bess, when it comes to, and by the way, Bess is with she's the president of the local chapter of Pride at Work. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the impact on employees, again, we've been talking about the fact that if employees see leadership saying, okay, I'm not concerned about my identity, I'm not going to hide it, you don't have to either, that could have sort of a ripple effect. How often do you, in your work with Pride at Work, talk to, work with workers in our area who are concerned about being out?
Well, a lot of it depends on the environment in which you work. I'm very privileged to be working in an institution at Monroe Community College where it's very inclusive, and diversity and safe places are part of the culture. That's unlike a lot of areas within Pride at Work and the members that I deal with. And the best protections against discrimination is a union contract, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you need to have those sexual orientation, gender identity, expression in the contract, and advocate, and if you under collective bargaining, protections. So, and it's interesting to note that in 29 states, you can get fired for being gay, 31 if you're transgender, including New York. I mean, we still need to get gender passed, the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act. So there's a lot of work to be done, and the best protection any LGBT person can get is protection through a union contract, and I can't repeat that enough.
Okay, well, in a moment, I want to read some comments from Entrepreneur Online that dissent from what Bess is saying. We'll see what Bess and Emily and Judy and Eliza have to say. And I know Bess is looking at me saying, bring it on. All right. But before we get there, do we have, in some of our conversations on Friday leading up to this interview, we had talked a little bit about percentages of out at work publicly. Do we have statistics that help measure the percentage of the gay workforce that is out at work versus the percentage of the gay population that is out in general? Or do we know? You're nodding, Emily.
Yes, the recent survey, climate survey that's been done by the Human Rights Campaign, follow-on to an earlier survey done in 2009, shows that 53% of the LGBT people in the workplace are still in the closet.
53%.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge number. Other surveys have been done, and it goes as high as 70 or 80%. The workplace is still a place where people are afraid of coming out. And again, it's all about relationship. I don't want to lose my work relationships. I don't want people making assumptions about me. I want to participate in a way that I feel they're just accepting me for myself, but I can't tell them who I really am, which is really not myself.
Okay. And do you agree with Bess? Do we need more legal protections right now?
We absolutely do. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act that's in Congress, ENDA, has been on the books since 1994, I believe.
I think earlier than that.
Well, that's when Kodak was the first company to testify as a Fortune 500 company on Capitol Hill for ENDA, and it's still not passed.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's coming up for a vote again probably next year, and we'll see if ENDA will pass. But right now in New York State, there's no protection for people of different gender expressions. They can be fired for looking different than you think I should look. That's ridiculous.
It's also interesting to note that you can get married in more states than you can work. So you can get married on a Friday and be fired on a Monday if you live in states, particularly in the South.
Okay. Let me grab a phone call because I think this will lead into more of this issue. This is Michael in Brighton. Michael, thanks for calling Connections. Go ahead.
Yeah, I found it curious. One of your panelists was talking about protections that a union contract would provide, And I think what really needs to happen is I think someone like Tim Cook needs to use the economic power that his company and he has to get legislation passed, to get legislation enforced. And I think, you know, he also needs to use the economic power that he and his company has to try to make it so that same-sex marriage becomes the law of the land. Because that's what happens. That's what companies do. They use their economic power and their political power to change the agenda and to move things forward. And I think he shouldn't just be a bystander who says that, you know, I'm just letting everyone know that I'm gay. I think he has a responsibility to help us move things forward.
Michael, thanks for the call. Let's get some reaction from the panel. I'm going to start with Judy here. At the worker level, when you see a CEO do this, is it enough for a Tim Cook to say, I'm going to acknowledge this publicly because I want comfort among my employees and maybe employees for other companies? Or do you agree with Michael that now he's got a responsibility to try to do more? What do you think?
I think because of his position, yes, he does have a responsibility to do more. But on the same token, the fact that he did what he did, I think that people on a normal level, meaning folks like me, you know, should feel a little bit safer and be able to say, well, okay, somebody at this level said that he's gay. Maybe it's time for me to come out and say that I'm gay, and therefore maybe my other workers will also come together and say that they are gay, you know. It's very difficult because in the situation that I work in, there are people at my employment that have come out to me, and I can't say anything about it because they have to come out on their own level. But because I'm an out person, you know, they feel comfortable in saying, well, you know, Judy, I'm gay, but I can't tell anyone I'm gay, and please keep my secret. And I see the stress that they're under because they're keeping this secret. So I think somebody at his level, I think it's comfortable for him, and I'm hoping that it's going to be comfortable for others. I really do.
Eliza Hammer with the Regional Council for Out and Equal New York Finger Lakes. What do you think when it comes to Michael's comments about responsibilities of Tim Cook and maybe other CEOs who are gay who are not out to do more?
I think it comes from both levels. I think that gay leadership within organizations definitely has the responsibility to lead by example. I think on the other side, though, you know, we wouldn't be anywhere, the gay community wouldn't be where we are today without our allies. So I think on the other side of the table, too, if you're the leadership of an organization, big or small, and you know that you have gay employees and you can advocate for them on their behalf, you know, that's how you really start to move the needle. I work for an amazing small company here in Rochester. I'm out at work, and my colleagues and my bosses are extremely supportive of me and my girlfriend. And to me, that makes the biggest difference every day.
Before we pivot the conversation, Joan and Hilton is on the line. We're going to get to you coming up, Joan, because I think Joan wants to talk about turning this conversation internationally. I think there are some big questions still about that. But let me read from Ray Hennessy, writing for Entrepreneur.com, who dissents on the notion of being able to be fired for being gay. Here's what Ray Hennessy wrote after Tim Cook's essays. Quote, "With apologies to Tim Cook, companies can't just fire people because they're gay. Cook is referring to a big talking point for those advocating that sexual orientation and identity be specifically added to state and federal anti-discrimination laws. States already ban discrimination on the basis of, say, race and gender. But sexual orientation and identity are areas where state adoption has been uneven. If you're gay in New York, for example, you're okay. If you are transgender in New York, the law doesn't specifically protect you, as it does in California. Many states don't offer any protection for orientation. It is the absence of laws specifically protecting LGBT rights in the workplace that has led to advocates saying that, in 29 states, you can be fired just for being gay. It's not that simple, though. In fact, it isn't true. It's more politically charged mythology than solid law or common business practice. Truth is, just because you can't not be fired for being gay doesn't mean you can be fired for being gay. It's a hollow argument. While many states are so-called at-will states, where employers can terminate freely for all sorts of reasons, anyone who's ever hired and fired knows you need a full paper trail documenting poor performance to shield yourself against a host of workplace discrimination or wrongful termination claims. You cannot, as Cook and others suggest, walk in and fire someone solely for being gay, nor are there laws on the books that allow it, as if these states somehow wrote in the protections for employers to fire gays at will. Sadly, Cook's rhetoric is misleading hyperbole." All right, Bess. That's Ray Hennessy writing for Entrepreneur.com. What do you think?
Wow. That's a lot to think about, but I disagree. I mean, if you get married on Friday and you come in to work on Monday and you live in, say, Alabama, where you can be fired for gay, and you talk about your wife and your boss is possibly homophobic, it's like you're fired. I mean, he can do that, and he get away with it legally.
In an at-will state, right.
In an at-will state, yes. Now that, you know, I don't think that we're naive. I mean, I think you can fire anybody, and you can create reasons to fire someone. It doesn't necessarily have to be. But if you have protections based on race and religion, then you certainly should have protections on sexual orientation and gender identity. So, I mean, federal law, federal and state law are protections, and if we are fired because we identify as gay, that we at least have a recourse through discrimination, documentation.
Mm-hmm. Emily, I know you were listening to what Ray was saying there, and what's your take when he says, look, 29 states, I understand it's not codified in law, but employers are not going to do that because of the potential lawsuits and wrongful termination suits?
I think I concur with Bess. At-will states, you can create a paper trail to suit your interests in any way you want to, if you want to eliminate an individual from the workplace. And I have worked in a corporation that has probably some of the most strict paper trails ever. But there are ways to do it, should you want to. What it says is, you can't, he's probably right. You can't go up to somebody and say, you're gay, I'm firing you. But with the knowledge of that, they can put enough information together around their performance to make it easy for them to be let go.
This reminds me of it was 9 to 5 with Dabney Coleman, played the boss in 9 to 5, if I remember the 1980s movie. Mm-hmm. And he essentially told one of the women in a private conversation in the office, we needed a man for this position. I couldn't hire a woman for this. Mm-hmm. And In a conversation with the Labor Council here, they were saying they played that for the Labor Film Series this year because their point on that is that hasn't changed other than the fact that it has to be more subtle. To Emily's point, you can't just walk up and say, all right, you're a woman, you can't get this job. But you can create other reasons for not hiring and claim it's not gender-based. Or if you want to fire someone because you're uncomfortable with their sexuality, Emily, you're saying they will find other reasons and they will protect themselves.
Right.
Absolutely.
And Bess, you're nodding right along that.
I agree.
We've seen it, yes?
I mean, I've had members come to me who have faced discrimination, but it's been through other means. And I think one of the things that people don't realize what they need to do if they think that they are being discriminated against is to document, write down who you talked to, who were the witnesses were, what time, how did you confront what you perceived as being discriminatory. Keep a paper trail so eventually if the company does have layoffs and you happen to be one of the people they choose to lay off, you may have grounds for discrimination toward the Division of Human Rights and file a discrimination lawsuit.
Yeah, I think every employment attorney I've ever talked to, I remember Beth Cordello on this program saying that, you know, I don't want to speak for attorneys locally, but they're always telling me, yes, try to build a record, make sure you understand, you know, sort of step by step, as opposed to, you know, everything's about to break, it's been building, and you don't have documented instances, or you didn't sort of talk to witnesses, et cetera.
So yeah. Members that have come to me have felt discriminated, but they haven't done that piece, and you can't prove it.
And that makes it much harder, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it just breaks your heart because they were obviously targeted because they were gay and they came to Pride at Work when it's too late.
And Bess and others, employment attorneys have said to me, you know, at the same time, while you are being careful to document, you know, don't be afraid to reach out and talk to a manager directly and say, look, I want to talk to you about this. I don't want this to keep building. Do you have an issue? You know, can we talk this out? Yeah? You agree?
Absolutely. You need to talk as it's happening. I always talk, if it feels bad when you leave, turn around and go back. Mm-hmm. And that's the philosophy I live by.
Emily?
Oh, I totally agree. you should go in with facts, not emotions.
Right.
Facts. This happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I feel about these things that were done. What do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really important to confront the situation, but from a factual perspective and not an accusatory perspective.
All right. So before I pivot that conversation, Bess, one more time, tell us the actual legislation and what these sort of next steps would be if it goes the way you want to see it happen, what will change with the law?
With which law?
With just in general protections that could be passed.
I would like to see the American Equality Bill passed. It's actually stronger than the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. It all in companies includes public accommodations, employment, several other things. You essentially are protected just as you would under the Civil Rights 1964 Act. And ENDA is just addresses employment, but we need to see the complete package for LGBT citizens.
Okay, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the impact of Tim Cook's announcement, the Apple CEO, coming out last week in an essay for Bloomberg, addressing his own sexuality, saying he is comfortable about being openly gay. He wants workers to feel that same comfort and that same protection that he has as the CEO, but at the same time, he's the only Fortune 500 CEO that's out. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to lead off with Joan from Hilton, who's going to pivot our conversation to other possible impacts here. And we've been talking about the United States and worker protections here. The reaction to Tim Cook's announcement in Russia, in China, in other sectors has not been so positive. And there are risks, and we're going to talk about that when we come back right here on Member Supported Public Radio. Coming up in our second hour, we go inside the strange story of Prop 3. Tomorrow on the ballot, the third proposition concerns money for schools when it comes to technology, pre-K space, or security. So why are so many school leaders kind of ignoring it, staying silent? Certainly not publicly supporting an initiative that could bring schools more money. What's the motivation? We explore all of it next hour.
Author and internet entrepreneur Cory Doctorow says the current approach to copyright law enforcement doesn't make sense.
What we do with our stuff is our own business, and if we break the law, then maybe we get punished, but just using a product in an unintended way shouldn't be a felony.
His take on what might work for artists and consumers later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 o'clock on your public radio station.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and to the phones we go. This is Joan in Hilton. Joan, thanks for calling Connections. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I give high praise for Tim Cook. I also want to give praise to the panel for all that they do, too. And I was hoping that it would be a positive international influence eventually, I guess, since you said that some of the other countries aren't too positive, but maybe eventually it will. A positive influence.
Well, I can tell you, Joan. In Russia, obviously, I don't think it's any secret that their record on gay rights is right. Sort of non-existent. I mean, we've seen that not only throughout Russian history, but even with their current leadership. And you did have a lawmaker in Russia respond to Tim Cook's announcement by floating the notion of laws that would either ban Apple products or those kind of a thing. In China, I won't even get into some of the language, but if you saw some of the media reaction and some of the social media reaction, there's always going to be vulgarity in social media, for example, but there was a lot of ridicule and demeaning response from some very prominent people in China. So I picked two big examples, and hopefully that's not perfectly indicative of the international reaction, but at the same time, those are huge and important sort of clients and trade partners for the United States, for Apple, et cetera. So, Emily, what do you see as the international reaction and the possible value of Tim Cook's announcement on an international scale?
Well, I think the and the international reaction, they had to do that. They had to say what they had to say, because if they didn't, it wouldn't flow with their countries very well. But in the long term, they're going to figure out a way for Tim Cook's products, current and future, to make their way into that company, because those countries will get them through the black market or others. He will not get a boycott. I can tell you this, and for him to stay the line will make him even more successful.
What do you think, Bess?
Oh, I agree. 10 years ago, we didn't have marriage. You know what I mean? I mean, and I think that the leadership, it is communist country, China, Russia. But there are people out there that I have Facebook friends with, people in Ukraine, who are fighting oppression every single day.
It's a pretty severe oppression. I mean, give me an example.
Absolutely.
Give me an example.
They don't have pride parades. When they do have pride parades, they're either stoned, they're thrown bottles at. I mean, there's some really courageous folks in Russia that are trying to change hearts and minds, just as there were courageous folks in the 50s and 60s trying to change hearts and minds here. It's a drip. And it's a ripple. And every time Tim Cook, you can bet that every leadership that spoke against it, there's probably 200 that were joyful. So change is going to happen, but it's not going to happen overnight. And this is why Tim Cook coming out so publicly can only move the ball forward.
Yeah. Bess, you mentioned the 1950s or 60s. I suppose there would be many people who would have been surprised in the 1950s and 60s that even in 2014, I'd be sitting here talking to Judy Johnson, a gay black woman who is helping lead and provide services for other members of her community, as opposed to being discriminated against for either being gay or black or both. Now, I'm not saying that's never happened, Judy, and I'm sure we could talk about that. But in that sense, do you view the international reaction to Tim Cook's announcement with disappointment or with hope because of where this country's come in a generation or two?
I view it with hope. that's all I can say. I really view it with hope. I mean, I understand about the 50s and 60s because my parents, they were civil rights activists, okay? And I wouldn't even be surprised today if my mom and dad would say, gay, and they wouldn't even understand the whole concept of gay, you know. And I mean, I was there first. Okay, so that's all they had to go by. But I really do feel that internationally, I feel that people are going to do what they're going to do. And I think that with Tim coming out saying what he had to say, I think there's the bedroom conversations going on. I think there's people praising, you know, within their own, you know, communities. But on the whole, they're going to be people who have to publicly say we're against this, because that is the nature of the beast. You know, that is just the nature of the beast. But I really feel that him coming out, I don't even know what to say about it, because I was happy. You know, I can't even tell you how happy I was. You know, I have a daughter that's an Apple enthusiast. She doesn't think of anything else but an Apple product, okay? And she called me. I before I even heard about it, she called me and said, Mom. I was like, oh, my goodness. So, yes, I am happy. I think the international community will eventually come on board, because in the end, people are just people.
A couple of comments here on Twitter. Amanda says the numbers mean there have to be more Fortune 500 gay CEOs. Well, if that was the case, there would have to be more women too. We have a long way to
agree.
Go. Period. We've got a panel of four women here, and I think everybody is nodding on that.
Well, and CEO 1% are black. I mean, right. You know, so there's a long way to go in diversity.
There's
with
still
the
a lot of white men in mm-hmm. power, and again, that's not to attack the notion of white men in power.
No.
The notion of is just what is reflect. It is not currently reflective. Let me turn to Eliza with a question on what may be, not to say that we have an older panel here, but I think Eliza might be the youngest member of our panel. I want to play a comment that NPR aired. Laura Seidel, reporter for NPR, talked to Trevor Burgess. Burgess is the founder and CEO of C1 Bank. He is open about his own sexuality. He's gay. And he told NPR that his openness about his sexuality has actually, not only has it not hurt his company, it has helped recruit top talent. Let's listen to Trevor Burgess.
Most exciting to me was the number of people that contacted me and our business and wanted to work here at C1 Bank. What they loved was that they had a leader who was authentic in who he was, and they saw that that might present an opportunity for them also to be authentic.
Eliza, when it comes to a generation of workers who are getting through high school, college, and hitting the workforce, and with that question of leadership, Trevor Burgess is saying that the top young workers aren't just going to say it's not a negative that he's gay, but that he is out, he is proud, it's not a problem, and that whether I'm gay or straight, my individuality is protected. Do you agree with that?
I agree with that completely. I think I know that I personally made a very conscious decision when I graduated from college and was looking for my first real job that I didn't want to be in the closet, and I didn't want to work anywhere that would force me to do that. And I think that I'm not the only one who views it that way. And that when we're looking for jobs and we're looking for the places where we want to, you know, give our skills and give our time, we want to be with people who accept and appreciate us for everything that we are. So I think that as Tim Cook and hopefully others come out kind of at the top levels of organizations, you're going to see gay young professionals really gravitate towards those organizations because they know that they can go and be there and be their authentic selves. I think that for those companies, it really sends shockwaves to the LGBT community in a wonderful way.
You're hearing from Eliza Hammer, a member of the Regional Council for Out and Equal New York Finger Lakes. Bess Watts is here, the president of the local chapter of Pride at Work. Emily Jones is a board member of Out and Equal and a member of the Business Council of the Human Rights Campaign for the last 13 years. Judy Johnson is a member of Pride at Work. Emily, is it interesting to you to see the progression that now we're hearing CEOs, maybe not Fortune 500 CEOs beyond Tim Cook, but talking about the advantage of being open as opposed to it's okay if you're open, it won't be a negative? And that's sort of an interesting shift in the conversation, isn't it?
I think it's absolutely true. I remember I was a mid-level manager at Kodak, and I had the opportunity to form the employee resource group at Kodak. It gave me the advantage of meeting every single member of the C-suite, including George Fisher. My career actually accelerated after those interactions. Once your leadership is assessed by the C-suite, they start asking you to do other things. by being out and gay and talking about who you are and wanting to make the workplace more inclusive, it's an absolute natural that more people will gravitate to that company. Mike Morley, the senior VP at HR, talked about exactly the same thing as Mr. Burgess. He was able to hire much better talent for Kodak because of their inclusive policies.
It's probably just basic good business sense. That do you want a full, broad pool of employees, or are you going to sort of narrow your focus and potentially be discriminatory? Bess, I see you nodding along there.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. Richard Florida did a study, and they're called the creative class, and a lot of companies would look at cities and see how inclusive they are in order to move their businesses there. So, and one of the indexes was how active is the LGBT community and how accepting. And and it showed that more people would gravitate, especially the younger folks, would move to those areas so they could be out. It cannot be overstated how important it is to have an inclusive working environment. And the one thing about being gay is you can't see gay. You have to raise your hand and say, hey, you're talking about me. And when you work for an employer and you walk down the halls and you see a Safe Zone sticker, you know that you're welcome. Or if it's Pride Week and you see that the flag is there, or there's a library display on gay history or what have you, you know that you're valued and you're 100% accepted as a full employee of that organization. I think that we really need to worry about those companies that are not inclusive, that actually do not have sexual orientation in their policies or gender identity or expression. And I think that we're very fortunate living in Rochester because we have the Gay Alliance, and they have wonderful resources where they can teach employers how to have a safe zone or what have you. So, I mean, use our resources.
I want to make sure that we let people know about the resources that are available. And it's interesting. Here's Tom on Twitter saying, I admit that I didn't think much of Tim Cook's announcement because I really didn't think this was anything new. Is it true that he is the only Fortune 500 CEO? And so, I guess interesting in that if you're not paying attention to the ranks of the Fortune 500 CEOs, you might be surprised to find out how little diversity there is and the lack of out gay CEOs. In a moment, I want to play another comment from a different CEO. It was Tim Gill, was the founder of Quark. That was a desktop publishing company that many years ago in my college days, I had to learn Quark. And so Tim founded Quark, and he was on the Fortune 400 list. And let's listen to what he told NPR's Laura Seidel. This is Tim Gill, who said that when he landed on the Fortune 400 list, he wanted to mention in that brief note, that blurb there, his partner. And he was initially asked to remove the reference to your partner. Here he is describing that moment and what he now views as the potential impact for Tim Cook and Apple.
It was an interesting tussle because they didn't want to print that I was gay in that list. Apple, for example, has tremendous influence on places that they do business, and for them to ask those places to respect their gay employees and the gay citizens of those states and municipalities has the potential to have a lot of impact.
All right, so now, Emily, we're going outside of Apple. We're looking not even outside the country, but Tim Cook and what Apple can do. What realistically can Apple do to impact this movement in other companies and other states in other ways?
Well, Apple has had 100% on the Corporate Equality Index. It is the measure of how inclusive a company is around LGBT people. Apple has been there since 2002. They were one of the first 13 companies. It will be announced later this week that there are over 350 companies in the United States that have 100% on the Corporate Equality Index. These companies are in all those states that don't have protections federally or from their state governments. These companies have been leading on the business issues. For instance, Apple and Kodak and Bausch & Lomb and Corning and Xerox and JPMorgan Chase all signed up for the business case for marriage. There's over 120 of these companies that are signed up for the Coalition for ENDA, and now that has become this all-inclusive Equality Act. They've already got it through the House, and it's being modified to go now through the Senate. These companies sign up, their lobbyists are on Capitol Hill, and they are lobbying to get these protections in place. This is what they are doing.
All right, before we get back to the phones, a couple other follow-ups then, Emily. When it comes to the Corporate Equality Index, then, without getting into every detail, how was it created? What's the basis for it?
It was based on the equality principles that were originated in New York City. And what they do is measure, do you have an EEO discrimination policy? Are your benefits equitable across the entire spectrum of your employees? Are your health benefits inclusive of people doing gender transition? Do you actually train your population in LGBT cultural competency issues? And now being added, do you require your contractors to have non-discrimination policies, and are you putting these policies for LGBT non-discrimination issues in place in all of your global facilities? This is tough.
And so, in other words, a corporate behemoth like Apple could say to the many smaller companies they work with, we want you on this list, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
Flex muscle in that way.
Yeah.
And what does it say to you, Emily, that you go back, Apple's been on the Corporate Equality Index starting when?
2002, from the very beginning.
12 years later, their CEO comes out. Now, granted, Tim Cook was, I don't know the position he held in 2002, but is that just sort of interesting? No,
it's even more surprising because...
That it took this long.
Yeah, because their chief counsel for Apple, Elizabeth Birch, actually got domestic partnership benefits passed at Apple, I believe, in 1994. That's almost 20 years ago. They have been the leaders on equality in the workplace for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. They have been one of the companies that people followed. They looked at what are their customers doing every time they put another one of these policies in place. Are they losing customers? I can tell you, Kodak lost a huge health partner when they supported the gay games in Amsterdam. Kodak said, fine, walk away. These are our employees.
So you would think that Tim Cook, if he was going to come out, would probably have, I mean, he certainly would have been protected, there wouldn't have been many adverse effects, you wouldn't think, years ago, and yet it still took 20 years.
Don't forget that Tim Cook was raised in Alabama as well,
mm-hmm.
and that where he came from may have driven when he chose to come out.
Eliza, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think it speaks to how personal the coming out process is. I think everybody does it differently. It goes differently for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think as, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of allies who are listening right now. I think that's something that's really important to acknowledge as an ally, is that when somebody comes out to you, however they choose to do it, explicitly or implicitly, it's really important to be respectful of what they're sharing with you and how they've decided to share it. And, you know, and everybody does it differently, and everybody kind of goes through that process, or even the self-awareness process of figuring out that you're on the LGBT spectrum in a different way.
Back to the phones, Bernard in Fairport. Go ahead, Bernard.
Yeah, I'm a little confused here. As an employer, I guess I wouldn't care the sexuality of my employees. So, you know, I guess I need a little help understanding the problem. As an employer, you're not supposed to be, or you shouldn't be, prejudiced over many, many things. Why is sexuality, if you will, a major issue? I mean, I guess I'm just having trouble dealing with this, since it never occurred to me to care what the sexuality of my employees were, and it was none of my business, if you will. So is this particularly dangerous or what? It just, you know, help me out. Help me think this through.
Could
thanks
I ask?
Very much.
Yeah, thanks, Bernard.
I would be curious to know if Bernard had a picture of his wife on his desk, or if he's, I'm assuming that he's heterosexual. I mean, I think that when Tim Cook came out, the mayor of Alabama said, we wish he would have kept it private. But I'm sure that he is married and has children, and he talks to his colleagues every day about what him and his wife did over the weekend. So, I mean, every day there's what they call heterosexism. You know, when you have to go to work and pretend that I'm married, I've been with my wife Anne for 20 years. We were married in 2004. But if I had to go to work and not be able to talk about her, then you're only getting part of me as an employee. You're not getting the whole. When having the freedom to be the whole me, you get everything that I have to offer. So as an employer, it's important that you have, you bring the whole person in to work for you.
Even in companies where there is not hostility toward gay workers, there's still, our culture in this country still has a little bit of uneasiness. I'll give you an example. I anchored with a wonderful anchor who has since left Rochester and is in another state. Edward Moody is his name, and Edward is one of the most talented people I've ever worked alongside. Edward's longtime boyfriend mm-hmm. cut my hair. They were a mm-hmm. wonderful couple, and losing them was very sad for Rochester. Yeah. But we were anchoring together one day, and, you know, I mentioned my wife, and Edward said during break something along the lines of, you know, there are moments where he felt he was going to jump in and talk about his long-term partner. But there was that sort of that hesitation. I don't know. I think I can. I don't know if I... Well, Edward has since, I think, dropped any pretense of concern about that, and I'm proud of him for that. But there was that moment, even with a strong, talented guy mm-hmm. like Edward, there was that, I'm going to pull back for a moment. Because it just... And our employer at 13 Wham was wonderful. Wonderful. Right. So that all I'm saying is that uneasiness is still there in the culture, even if the hostility is less. Does that make sense?
Yes. The fear of rejection is a powerful oppressor. And that's important to keep that in mind. If you, it's not easy for everyone to come out, and it is a process. But there's places where if you do come out, you may not get that promotion. You may be rejected or harassed at work. I mean, it's important to reach people where they are and help them along the path. It's important for leaders to demonstrate that inclusivity in the workplace.
Let me start to wrap the conversation with looking ahead now, and I'm going to start with you, Eliza Hammer, a member of the Regional Council for Out and Equal New York Finger Lakes. The impact of Tim Cook's announcement as the CEO of Apple is what we've been talking about. What do you see happening down the line? Are you going to be surprised if we don't have more out Fortune 500 CEOs, more of an inclusive sort of a workplace atmosphere in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years?
I think that's definitely the direction that things are going in. I think we're going to have more CEOs and upper-level executives coming out, and I really hope that his announcement really starts conversations in organizations big and small to say, you know, what are we doing to be more inclusive? What do we do if, you know, somebody here, if we hire an LGBT person, and how do we make sure that our workplace is as inclusive as possible?
Judy, where do you think we're going?
I'm hoping forward. That's what I'm hoping. I think with his announcement, I think we'll give people a sense of calm, saying that, you know what, if he can do this, then maybe I can do this. And then hopefully we'll get to a point one day when it doesn't even matter. You know, that's what I'm hoping, that it doesn't even matter. It's just that you're you and I am me. And then people can just be in a workforce, you know, that's just totally equality. You know, and it doesn't matter. That's what I'm hoping for.
Emily, you've seen a lot in the corporate world over the years. Are you going to be surprised if we don't have more out CEOs on that list in 5 years, 10 years?
Yes, I would imagine that there would be many more people who would come out. You saw Anderson Cooper come out, Rachel Maddow. You're seeing it in many different parts of the spectrum of business, and I think it'll happen.
But it's got to happen in the lead. I mean, certainly Anderson Cooper and Rachel Maddow are powerful people, but business leadership, Bess, do you think we're seeing more start to change there?
Oh, absolutely. And let's not forget Michael Sam, the NFL player that came out recently. I mean, the tide is turning, and it's important for workplaces to keep up. And it's actually may you live in interesting times, and I think that we are all living in interesting times, and, wow. And I love the direction that our country is moving toward and full equality of opportunity.
And 15 seconds, Bess, if people want just more help and guidance, if you're a worker and you don't know or you have questions, I know there's a lot of different groups, where would you have people go?
Oh, I would go have them come to Pride at Work. But actually, the Gay Alliance is a wonderful resource. And if they don't know the answer, you can certainly contact me.
All right. So you've seen the resources available. Eliza Hammer, thank you for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Judy Johnson, thank you. Nice to see you here.
Thank you.
Bess, thank you. And I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about as we go forward here. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan.
Emily Jones, thanks for helping us put together an interesting conversation this hour. And thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Short break. We're going to talk about Prop 3. Tomorrow, you're going to see props on the ballot that you might not know a lot about. We're going to break down Prop 3 next.